Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay. We're going to go on a little journey today in the book of Ephesians, and we're going to just try to unpack it a little bit, those last three verses. And so while you're finding that page, I'll just go ahead and share just a little bit before I actually read that scripture. And I would like you to think about the question, and I don't know if it's on the screen, but if we could get that question on the screen, I want you to think about, are you the new friend we want to have? Are we the new friends that we want to have? Because, see, friend, we sometimes use that word so casually today. And one example is on Facebook. Somebody can be your friend by a punch of a button. So let's talk about that. We use it casually among the people of God, the body, the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're the church. And another question to think about as we go on this little short journey, what is a friend? What is a friend? Jesus used the word friend and friends on several occasions, and one of my personal favorites is when he tells the disciples that he no longer calls them servants because he has confided in them and told them everything that the Father has told him. You can go and look for that yourself in John chapter 15. He says a lot about friends, friendship, and his love, the Father's love, and even the Holy Spirit in that chapter. Now, Webster defines the word friend as derived from the old English word freon. See, it's like that. It kind of sounds like it's from down south. Freon, friend. It means literally to love. And then Webster goes on to give a primary definition, meaning as one attached to another by affection or esteem. So let's read these last few verses of this chapter 4 in Ephesians, and then let's talk about that a little bit. Verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every kind of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love his word. Are we the new friends we want to have? Now, let's just rewind and look at how we came to these passages. Now, Paul's letter to the church of Ephesus, we believe that he was in prison, in Rome, most likely. And scholars believe that it was actually a circular letter that could have passed through all the churches of Asia Minor, West Asia Minor, going through an ancient Roman postal route. Now, Ephesus was a city that we might compare to New York City today, our own New York City with all its commercialism, and it was actually the ancient World Trade Center. So Ephesus had it going on. It had a lot going on in that city. And we're taught that Paul was in Ephesus at least three times. So he definitely had some friends there. He definitely had those which he was attached to by love and affection. And so he writes to this church in Ephesus. And the beautiful thing about this letter, as he writes to Ephesus, the beautiful thing about God's word is that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this letter speaks to the church of all ages, and it speaks to us in the 21st century. Now, the overall theme of this letter is unity. And the Lord teaches us through the Apostle Paul how he wants the church to walk in unity. But the only way that can ever happen at any level is to be in right relationship with one another. Better yet, we're supposed to be friends. We are supposed to love in this family of God, in this community. So in the beginning of the letter, Paul reminds us who we are. Sometimes I think we forget who we are. Who are we? We are chosen. We are predestined before the foundation of the world and sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. By grace and through faith, we have been saved. That's God's gift. We are His workmanship, His design, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He has prepared for us in advance. And Paul says to the church, he said, I'm kneeling and praying that out of the Lord's glorious riches, you are strengthened with power throughout your inner being, that you may, being rooted in His love, have power together, saints, to grasp how wide, how deep the love of Christ, and be filled with His fullness. See, this love, my brothers and sisters, my friends, when we have learned the way of Christ, this love is what empowers us to strip off that old self, those old selfish ways, like the girl had in the video, and to put on new clothing, new self, to be that new friend we want to have, the one that has the new attitude. Gotta have it. Gotta have that new attitude. So here we are, and the scripture says, don't let any unwholesome words. The King James Version says corrupt communication, meaning filthy, you know, ugly stuff, come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up. A new friend builds up. Now, I wasn't acting very new the other day when I was looking over my daughter, and she was looking at her Facebook page, and there were a couple of her Facebook friends, and they were promoting a party. Now, the party didn't look like the kind of party that I would want my daughter to go to. It looked really worldly and somewhat sleazy. Let me try to say it right. And I looked over her shoulder and I looked at them and, you know, they were charging money and stuff and looking all sexy, you know, promoting themselves and promoting this party. And I said, your friends are whack. It just came out of my mouth just that quick. Your friends are whack. And I didn't say it nicely. I said it with disdain. It was ugly the way that I said it. And, you know, the Lord convicted me about that later. And He was like, what are you? That was not necessary. You know, and so as I dealt with that, I went back to my daughter and I told her, I said, you know, I shouldn't have said that, you know, but she actually agreed with me. She actually agreed with me and said she wasn't going to that party. And so then it was ministered to me then that I built her up by then affirming her and saying, well, you know, I'm glad that you're not going to that party. And I'm glad that your values are different than that. I'm glad you're not going to the party. So building her up. See, because the tongue has power of life and death. Death and life is in the power of tongue. You can find that in Proverbs. That's a word of wisdom. And as new friends, we should speak life to each other. Remember that old rhyme? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Not true. A big fat lie. And the devil is a liar. The father of all lies. And what do? We allow him to sometimes use us to speak pain and death to each other in our own members. See, how quick are we, myself included, I'm guilty, as people of God to say something negative, even in a joking manner. See, now, we're new creations now, new friends, delivered from that old self. That old self, we're told in the scripture that we just read, to get rid of all that bitterness, get that ugly rage and that bitterness. And I had to even think about where that came from when I was looking at her friends. Because one of them friends I knew. And I examined myself. And I searched myself. And I said, where did that come from? Because the word said it's not what we put in that defiles us, but what comes out of our heart and it comes out of our mouth that defiles us. So obviously I had something going on in my heart about those girls in that picture. And you know what? The Lord took me way back a few years ago when that same little girl had came over to my house and she had this little mini skirt on. And she kept pulling it down and pulling it down. And I kept saying, why is she wearing that skirt if she got to start keep pulling it down? You know, and it was the kind of skirt that my daughter and I would have a fight about. So anyway, you know, I had to search that and I found out that I was angry about that skirt she had on. You know, that it went back that far. Is it that? That's how we can let little ugly little things go in us, you know, those little anger and bitterness. It'll come out. Eventually, it'll come out if we don't deal with it right away. Now, radio preacher and teacher Chip Ingram says, we don't just drift into deep, authentic friendships, but we have to be intentional. Otherwise, our relationships will be shallow. And I pondered on that. When I heard him say that, I pondered on that for a while, and I thought, well, I don't want shallow relationships. I want deep relationships. But neither do I want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because I was thinking about that as I was wrestling with this text, that Paul was telling us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And I was wondering, I know that I have grieved him. I know. Even though I'm sealed, even though I'm marked, even though I'm promised the full redemption. And so I asked, though, how do we grieve him? Even though I know that I have, how is it that we really grieve the Holy Spirit? And that scripture tells us when we give Satan, in verse 26 and 27, if you back up a little bit, it tells us when we give Satan a foothold when we sin in that anger. See, it wasn't really wrong for me to be angry about that skirt, but it was really wrong for me to come out and start putting the girl down and telling her she was whack later on. So, see, the anger itself is not the sin, but what are we doing with it? What are we doing with our anger? Some commentators say we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't walk in the unity of the body of Christ as all members of one body. We fail to live as the new creation in Christ. But in His Spirit, in that newness, we're able to build up one another. Then we're able to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave us. Well, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I found out that word kind means, it says, it's Christos in Greek. It sounds like Christ. So it's like being like Christ, being kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave us. Now, in that video skit, it was clear that Sonny was failing to walk in those ways and may have grieved the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, if Amy had reacted in rage and bitterness, she might be grieving the Holy Spirit as well. See, Sonny should be bearing her friend's burden and building her up. And Amy, she should be speaking the truth in love to Sonny. Now, see, this intentional principle that Chip Ingram speaks of, it resonates, it echoes in my soul. It goes so deep as to what I believe that Paul is teaching us. He's teaching us to grow up in love. Grow up already, he's saying. Grow up in community. Be that new friend. Be that Christ friend. Intentionally. Remember, friend literally means to love. So let's look at that love factor. What should we be doing intentionally? What should we be doing to be that friend? Well, we should be bearing with one another in love. See, that didn't happen in that skit. The one that was crying, I think it was Amy. Sonny wasn't bearing with her. Now, I think about that. How do we bear with one another? The word says that if you go in the beginning of that fourth chapter, that we bear with one another to keep the unity. See, we cannot really afford to cut people off in the body of Christ. Now, the old self might have walked away, like somebody has said, you know? Somebody said maybe they just need to walk away or something, you know? But in the body of Christ, we can't afford to cut one another off. But how many times have we done it? And how many times have we felt like doing it? Oh, I have this one friend, God bless her heart. And she has been a friend for many, many years. And the Lord has taught me through that relationship what it means to bear with one another. And I'll give you an example. Now, this friend, she always wants to come and borrow clothes. She always wants to come and say, let me wear this for an interview or for some special. She's always coming over, oh, not, you know, can I borrow this, can I borrow that? And I would say, yeah. So I would give it to her. I would never get these clothes back. Now, the last time I loaned her a suit and a really nice skirt, she said, for an interview. And I told her, I said, you know, I really want this back, you know. And I said, so, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to bring it back. I said, now, I really want this back, but you know what? I'm not going to ask for it. So she's, oh, yeah, okay. Well, she never did give that back. And so I just really went to the Lord, and my flesh just wanted to tell her off, you know. And you know what? What I did is I really went to the Lord about it, because you know what? I didn't want our friendship to break up. I didn't want to make her an enemy, you know, like the word says, bearing with one another to keep the unity. So the Lord had to give me this idea, because I know I didn't think of it myself. But I think it's also in the word, too. But the next time she came to ask me for something to borrow, I said, sure. But I said, you can have it. Don't worry about bringing it back, you know. And then she did that a couple of more times, and I just gave them to her. Now, you know, she hasn't asked me to borrow anything in a long time. You know, we don't live as close, but that's how I dealt with bearing with her, you know. The next thing that we intentionally should be doing is we should be speaking the truth in love. Now, when we're speaking our truth, you know, we have to ask ourselves the following. First of all, is it true? Is it true what we're saying? Is it true? Is it necessary? Like, is it necessary to tell somebody you don't like their outfit, even if it's true? That's not speaking the truth in love. Is it time? Is it time to tell them what you want to speak to them? Timing is really important, and I have a huge problem with that. I'm the type of person that when I get the truth about something, I want to just run and just... And you know what? The Lord has shown me more than once. You need to wait. You need to be patient. You need to wait until I tell you to speak. The Holy Spirit gives it to you. Yield to me. You know? So, but anyway, and then ask yourself, will the end result in tearing this person down or building this person up? Because sometimes it is going to hurt when we speak the truth in love. But if the end result is still to build that person up, then that's what you need to be asking yourself. So, back in that chapter 4, it says the whole body needs to build itself up together, see? Because this is what authentic community is. When we build each other up, when I'm building you and you're building me, we are building community. And this is what authentic community is. Finally, and I'm going to let you go because it's a holiday weekend and people have things to do. Stormy O'Martin, most of you probably know her. She is like a mighty prayer warrior who writes all these books about prayer and I don't know how many she has out right now. But wow, she is a mighty woman of God. And in one of her books, she talks about the signs of a desirable friend. And I think that those signs that she gives us are the new friend we want to be. She says first that what I just said, we must speak the truth in love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy is deceitful. See, like I said before, sometimes what we may say may hurt. But if we love that person and we know that it's going to help them, in the end, it's really going to build them up. Then, she says, a desirable friend gives you sound advice. They're not going to steer you wrong. And if it's a new friend in Christ, they're going to give you advice that's based on God's word. Then she says, a desirable friend refines you. You know, iron sharpens iron. You know, they want you to be better. And they're going to refine you. They're going to help. Then another desirable sign is a new friend helps you grow in wisdom. He who walks with the wise will be wise. And then another, a desirable friend stays close to you. A new friend that's new in Christ is going to stay close to you. And then finally, the last two, they're going to love you, and they're going to stand by you. And remember, the love you is what a friend really means, to love you. And then the seventh one is he or she is going to help you in times of trouble. See, now sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we have the ability to be that new friend. And sometimes we miss the mark. But we know that the only way we can be that new friend is through the help of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives us that ability. He gives us that ability to be that desirable friend, to be that new friend, to throw off all that old stuff, that sinning in our anger, that rage, that bitterness that comes out of us when we least expect it and we're like, where'd that come from? Well, the Lord has given us all that we need to be able to be free from that, to be able to walk in His newness, to be that new creation. So let's go to Him together, my friends, and pray. Oh, Father God, what would we do without You? Our praise is due to You. All praise is due to You, our Father God. You have brought Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to us. And we thank You. We thank You so much for choosing us before the foundation of the world. Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen us. Just like Paul said, in the power of Your love, so that together with all the saints in unity, we can grasp how wide, how deep Your love is. And that we are so deeply rooted that we may be filled with that fullness. Holy Spirit, forgive us when we have grieved You, when we have failed to behave as one body. Continue to comfort us in Your mercy and Your grace. Oh, how desperately we need the power of Your love to renew us, to help us to strip off that old self and to put on that new self. We want to be new, Lord. Those new friends that You've called us to be. Teach us, Lord, how to build each other up so that we may have deep, authentic relationships and all grow up together in the power of Your love. Lord, we just thank You so much for teaching us what it means to be a friend. In the mighty name of Jesus, let the whole church say, amen.